Hello, welcome to your winter wellbeing activity. I'm John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, and we've been working with the CCG to put together a wellbeing activity that you can either do as an individual, do as a couple, or do as a whole family to make sure that you can keep on top of your wellbeing throughout winter. So this particular activity is designed to help you look at the different elements that you do already for your well-being, where there might be some gaps, and how you can begin to make sure that they remain consistent throughout the winter months. We all know that winter has a bit of an impact on our well-being anyway. This winter is going to be particularly challenging, so we want to have something in place to help you make sure that you're giving yourself the best chance possible. So, like I said, I'm the founder of Arthur Ellis. Named after my granddads, we are here to improve the access and the accessibility to a variety of different techniques and services that can support well-being and mental health. So what Arthur Ellis does is we provide a community service, which is one-to-one with our team of practitioners. We support anybody from 8 years old onwards, and we've got no waiting list. So we provide services into the community. We work with GP surgeries across Milton Keynes, Bedford and Luton to make sure that we're able to be an additional service that they can rely on to send people to. We also provide our mental health support and our one-to-one service into educational settings. So we improve the provision of mental health support within schools and colleges. And we work quite heavily with businesses and organisations in order to make sure that they're being less reactive to poor mental health, but they're working in ways that are designed to consistently improve it. So why is well-being so important? Winter can be really, really challenging. And typically, there are a huge amount of negatives that we tend to begin experiencing. More often than not, we experience these day to day, but they can be heightened throughout winter. So these are sort of issues like motivation. We might sense that we're becoming a little bit more irritable than usual and a bit more snappy. We might even feel a bit lonely and isolated. We could feel sluggish, not really have much energy. Or then we could begin to feel worried about a lot of different subjects or a lot of different situations that we might be confronted with. It's completely understandable to feel this. And sometimes we don't even need to feel anything. Sometimes we just feel bleh. We just don't know how to sum up how we feel, but we just feel off. We don't feel right. We don't feel ourselves. And that's totally fine. There's not really anything that is necessarily wrong. It just means that somewhere in our lives requires a bit of improvement. Well-being is our sense of feeling comfortable, healthy, and happy. So if we're feeling any of the other one, any of the feelings that we highlighted before, like not being very motivated or not feeling very happy, then that shows that our well-being is being affected. Well-being isn't necessarily just day-to-day, so it's not how we feel in any given day, but it's over a longer period of time throughout our lives how comfortable, how healthy and happy we are. If we are starting to approach winter, we don't feel like we've got our well-being under control, it can sometimes begin to feel like we're hitting our head against a brick wall. But don't panic. It just demonstrates to us that there are areas within our lifestyles or within our lives that need to be improved. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us, and it's absolutely fine to feel like this sometimes. But we do need to know what areas we need to improve. We need to know the different elements of well-being in order to make sure that we can angle our improvements in the right way. So where do we do that? Where do we begin to look at the areas of our life or how we're spending our time, and how do we begin to improve those particular areas? So well-being is broken down into five particular elements, five pillars, with the local authorities typically called the five ways of well-being. And they are focusing the mind, taking notice of things, being physically active, helping others or giving, learning new things, and building and maintaining relationships. So I want to go through these and have a look at them in a bit more detail so that we can get to know and have some suggestions on the different things that we might already do within these five areas, but also highlighting what sort of other activities that we might not be doing could actually go towards helping our improving our well-being. So if we look at being physically active, yes, being physically active has a brilliant outcome for our physical health. It does wonders for our cardiovascular endurance. It does wonders for obesity and just general fitness. It's brilliant. However, when it comes to the mind, being physically active is incredibly important. We all have this area of our brains called a hippocampus, and this hippocampus is responsible for memory, learning, and also regulating our emotions. So if we have been, not exercising as much as we typically would, sometimes what we might recognize is that we start feeling a little bit more angry or start feeling a little bit more irritable, maybe snappy. And that's because the hippocampus hasn't got that consistency that it needs in order to regulate those emotions for us. It helps us become a lot more resilient to these sorts of changes. So the sort of exercise that we're talking about and physical activity that we're talking about with this is getting up to a point where we're consistently doing 20 minutes of walking per day. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be walking. This is just something to give you an idea of the intensity that we're talking about. So if you are feeling particularly unmotivated, sometimes if we think about an hour's gym workout or something that's quite intense like that, it doesn't need to be that much. We can still get a huge amount of benefits for our mental health and well-being if we're just focusing on getting to that magic 20 minutes of walking per day. The consistency is really, really important with this as well. So it's important for us to not take on too much too soon, or we might start to feel a bit overwhelmed with it. Focusing the mind is the second of the five pillars, and focusing the mind has been proven to reduce anxiety and also improve our ability to problem solve. So this is focusing on anything that brings us into the present moment. So anything that helps us to focus the mind on something that is in the current time, so in the present. Reason being, and the reason why it has such an amazing impact on anxiety, is because that anxiety is an emotion we all experience. All of us have anxiety, all of us have it at different levels. Where anxiety becomes to be a little bit of a problem is when it starts impacting our activities in day-to-day life. So we might be stopping doing certain things because of those feelings and those emotions. So by focusing the mind, and anxiety being primarily drawn from future situations, so we're concerned and worried, and we've got that feeling of anxiety, typically about future situations. We're worrying about something that might be coming up. That isn't helpful. Often we don't necessarily have the ability to change what's going to happen in the future. So by bringing ourselves back to the present and making sure that we're looking at what we can control and what's going on right now, we are in a much, much better position to be able to deal with those particular issues there and then. So focusing the mind doesn't necessarily have to be anything related to meditation or anything like that, but it could be as simple as doing a puzzle, because we're focusing and we're thinking about that present moment and what we're doing. It could be that we just have a moment at the end of every day to focus on how we've been feeling that day, maybe reflecting on the different situations that we've come across, recognizing how we've dealt with them and providing ourselves with some praise for that. It could be that mindfulness and meditation is good for you. If you are in a particularly anxious time and you recognize that you are feeling quite nervous or worried about something, then mindfulness isn't necessarily the best thing for you at that particular time. Mindfulness isn't recommended for anxiety. Reason being is that because anxiety is drawn from overthinking about these future situations, if you are in your own mind at that point, it's not going to be helpful, and those thoughts are probably going to just continue unless you're very well practiced at mindfulness. So meditation, mindfulness is great as a form of practicing, but not as a form of, if you are feeling anxious, this is how to deal with it. You're much better off focusing on something like a puzzle or looking and addressing the emotions that you're experiencing. You could go for a walk and really focus on the nature and the different things around you, the different sounds and the different feelings that you might get with that. Listening to music is also a brilliant one because you're focusing on the words and maybe singing along, even if it's just in your mind. But it's, again, focusing the mind on things. So making sure that we have time for these things is really, really important. Learning is the third pillar that we're going to be focusing on. And learning is not necessarily just going to college or university or doing a course or a degree. It doesn't have to be that intense. Learning is something that is just a constant within our lives, but we don't necessarily do it mindfully. So with learning, it's about being open to learning from our mistakes, learning from what we're experiencing. And with that, it could be that we decide to learn a new skill. It could be that we learn how to pick up a particular hobby and learn how to do it really well. It could be that we look into cultures or history as a pastime. So when we do go on our walks, maybe listening to podcasts or audiobooks about particular cultures or about particular eras within history can be really, really helpful for us to begin learning more. It could just be, if we don't want to do those sorts of things, it could be that just every day reflecting on the day and learning from the day. So maybe focusing on one or two things throughout the day that we did really well, and maybe looking at some improvements that how we dealt with a particular circumstance or how we dealt with a situation, and learning how we might be able to have implemented some improvements. This does wonders for our confidence, our self-esteem, and it also helps us to adapt to change if we do experience any different changes. So it can be really, really helpful, certainly at times like this, to make sure that we're remaining consistent with our learning. Connecting and building relationships, maintaining relationships that we have, is another pillar of our well-being. Something that we really need to be very, very mindful of and very, very consistent with. It can be challenging sometimes to do this, particularly for me. I find building and maintaining relationships quite challenging, mainly because with it just being online, it can be very, very difficult to ignore it or to choose other things to do. But online is absolutely fine. It's more the communication that's important, having that sense of purpose and community around us. So if it's on the phone or if it's on FaceTime or different things that we might be able to connect with people using, that is absolutely fine. It might be the dreaded Zoom that we use, which is, I know everyone's pretty zoomed out, but we're able to keep that communication and those connections with our friends and family consistent by using these tools. It could be that we just message or use social media. Or if we have children, or if we're looking at the wider family, they're able to game and spend time with their friends doing that. It makes sure that we've got that support in place for ourselves. It builds our support network. It gives us a sense of belonging and purpose so that we're not just living for ourselves, we're living for a wider community, however big that is. And then it also helps us to combat stress. We're able to offload to the friends and family that we have. Sometimes people don't feel like they can offload to friends and family. They feel like they might be burdening others, especially if our friends and family have also got a lot on. But I'd like to address that by asking you a question. If you feel like you aren't going to speak to a colleague, speak to a friend or a family member about some issues that you might be experiencing because you feel like you're going to be a burden on them, ask yourself if they would be a burden on you if they were to do the same. If you were to approach a friend who didn't seem themselves, would you consider it a burden if they were to offload a bit on you? Often we won't look at it that way, but I'd like you to consider that if you are experiencing issues that you feel it might be helpful to talk to somebody about. You are certainly not a burden. And then there's helping others. This is an element of giving, and giving doesn't necessarily need to be donating to a charity or a cause. Giving is more around sharing our knowledge, our expertise, our time, and it doesn't cost us anything. It's something that if we're able to give our time, our knowledge and expertise without an expectation of anything back, that builds up something. It's altruism. It's building up wonderful feelings within ourselves for doing something for others. In fact, when we do an act of kindness or we give our time, knowledge or expertise to somebody else, it releases dopamine and oxytocin within our brains. So oxytocin is known as the love hormone and dopamine is the pleasure hormone. So we're able to get a really, really lovely, good feeling from that. And very, very similar to a valve. What is even more interesting when these particular hormones are being released, it means that cortisol, our stress hormone, can't be released at the same time. So the act of giving and the act of helping others doesn't necessarily just release these feel-good hormones, but it stops stress from being released as well. So this is another one that's really good for combating stress, and it gives us that pleasurable, happy feel. So we need to start looking at how we identify what we do within these areas. So it might be that we don't necessarily think about these five areas any given week. But if we really want to start getting back in control and remaining in control of our well-being, this is something that can really help us do that. So if we have a table of five different areas, write down what those particular parts of our lives are dedicated to those areas. So what do we do for taking notice? It could be meditation. It could be walking and making sure that we leave our phone at home. It could be that we know some grounding techniques. Maybe for being active, that walking is just enough at the minute, but maybe we've got something at home that we do. Learning might be that we're understanding a new area of our jobs at the moment. We're going through a period of recognizing and building our skills in a particular area. Recognize that. Know that you're doing it. Know that it's having a good contribution towards your well-being. Maybe as a family, we could learn a new word every day and have a word of the day. Connecting with people, we can do regular video calls with friends every week. We could do the same with family. We could even do weekly activities where we're playing a game or something like that online with our friends and family. Giving could be that we're donating to a cause, but it could also be that we're asking neighbours if they need some help with their shopping, asking them if they want us to pick something up for them while we go to the shops, rather than them going out, especially if they're elderly or shielded. All of these different behaviours and these things that we've mentioned in these areas, we should consider as banana behaviours. Bananas are a wonderful fruit that if we were to have them every day, we wouldn't necessarily see a negative outcome of that. If anything, we would probably see benefits of having a banana a day. So we should see these behaviours, as in nutrition, as being banana behaviours, because they are made of such good stuff and they do such good things for us that they're going to be really adding to our lives. If we don't keep on top of these positive behaviours, there is a risk that negative behaviours can creep in and replace these banana behaviours. These sorts of negative behaviours could be spending more time alone, could be avoiding social contact completely. So if the phone rings, we don't answer or we don't reply to messages. It could be that we watch Netflix, but we watch it for 8 hours instead of just a couple of episodes. It swamps our day and we haven't got time for anything else. It could be that we have a glass of wine to begin with, and then we start increasing that and we end up having a bottle. And because we've been spending our time doing these unhelpful things, we begin to rush the things that are important to us, and we become irritable because of that. All of these different behaviors that we can be replacing the positive ones, we should consider as donuts. Donuts and bananas, if you're looking at a small donut, may have very similar calories in them, a couple of hundred calories maybe. But they're made of different things. They have different nutritional value for us. So if we're having a banana every day, we won't necessarily see a long-term impact of that. We would only really see positives from all of the good nutrients and the micronutrients that we get from it. But if we were having a donut every day, bearing in mind roughly the same calories, same amount of time expenditure, same amount of energy, but it's made up of different things. So over time, if we were to have a donut every single day, not only would we probably start seeing issues with our teeth, could maybe put on some weight, we'll start feeling quite sluggish, but we'll probably, more than likely, start wanting more. So we'll probably start with one donut. After a couple of weeks, we might want two, and so on and so on. So these donut behaviors begin to get quite unhelpful. So where does mental health come in? We often get asked quite a lot really about what's the difference between well-being and mental health. We've just covered well-being, and those five elements of well-being are really, really important. But where does mental health come into that? So if we have a look at some of these donut behaviors that we spoke about, being spending time alone, avoiding social contact, maybe staying in bed all day and becoming irritable, that can kick off a cycle where it begins to, if we're spending more time alone, we might start thinking over time that we're not good enough for anybody else. Our self-worth starts to get impacted, especially if these donut behaviors are replacing banana behaviors, where we do get good self-worth and it grows our self-esteem and confidence. If we're replacing spending time alone with those positive things, we're going to start experiencing these issues. The thoughts like, I'm not good enough, or this is never going to change, there's no hope, that can start having a knock-on effect to how we feel. So we might feel unmotivated as a result. We might feel down. We might feel emotional. And if we do feel down and unmotivated, more than likely, physically, we're going to feel quite tired. We're going to feel lethargic. We're going to feel sleepy. We might even get that irritability coming in. So this begins to kick off a cycle, which is ultimately really, really unhelpful for us long term. So that's where our mental health and poor mental health can come in, with these thoughts and feelings that are attached to those behaviours. So the risks of winter is that we have shorter days and less time to engage in positive behaviours. We've got to really make the most of the days. And those negative behaviours can become a lot more appealing. It's a lot more appealing when it's dark and dreary outside to spend time all day, every day on the sofa. But it has such a bad long-term effect that we need to make sure that we're planning our winter out for that. So if we take a look and have an example of positive and negative behaviours, if, for example, positive behaviours give us a plus 10 on a mood scale, and negative behaviours take some away, where well-being comes in is that overall throughout our lives, and again, this is a long-term thing, we want to make sure that we're having more positives than we are negatives. Donuts are absolutely fine to have now and then, but we don't want to get stuck in that cycle where they're consistently bringing us down. So if we have a look and have a look at Jerry as an example, I'm picking Jerry because I don't know anyone called Jerry and I don't feel bad. So he's middle of the road. Jerry is sort of 50 out of 100 on the mood scale. So his state of mind is good. It's not bad. It's, you know, he's middle of the road. So Jerry has quite a productive week. He's got good team meetings. He's learned something new that week. He's been going on dog walks. So his mood elevates. He's had those good hormones being released. He feels on top of things. And he's got some good self-esteem going on because he's learned something new as well. So at the weekend, he celebrates. And he decides to have a few drinks. Maybe had a few too many. And he spent the day recovering, watching Netflix all day. So that's a very, very donut weekend, something that you should do once in a while. So his mood has understandably dropped because of that, and the dreaded Monday comes. So he's back at work, but he is socialising, he's walking, and he's having some good reflective time with the teams. So his mood goes up. So he's back at kind of a normal middle level after that couple of weeks. However, he really did enjoy Netflix, and the risks of winter are that these donut behaviours are much more appealing. So he's decided to not do any exercise for a couple of weeks. Work's got really busy because he's not been able to keep too much on top of it because of this lack of benefit from the exercising. So he's spent most of the nights drinking in order to make sure that he's getting that boost somewhere else. So he's been having a lot of donut behaviours because they're much more appealing. But that puts him on a real, quite a long-term downward trajectory. So if this has been going on for a couple of months, then Jerry's going to start to experience some real changes in his state of mind. If this continues, then this is just going to carry on going on a downward trajectory. So Jerry might start to rush work because most of his time is spent isolated, spent watching the TV. He's not been answering his phone to his colleagues or his friends or family, so he's become even more isolated, and he's just getting quite irritable with the fact that he's got a rush and people seem like they're asking a lot of him all the time. So usually we would start to pick up on things right at this point when the person's demonstrating these symptoms of poor mental health. But if we're able to begin managing these positive behaviours, we can pick up on things a lot earlier, both for ourselves and for the other people around us. So by mapping out these positive behaviours, by understanding and managing and kind of living by these positive behaviours, not only do we know that we're doing something positive for our well-being, but we can pick up on it here rather than at the end point here. So, build your shopping list. What do you do within these five areas of well-being? What do you do to be physically active? What do you do to focus your mind and take notice? What do you do to learn? What do you do to connect with people? And what do you do to give your time, your knowledge, your expertise? This could be that you just do it by yourself and you map out these things you're alone. It could be that you do it as a whole family, so you have whole family activities within each of these pillars. But it's really important that if you're a mum and you're a dad, that mums and dads have their own things that they need to go away and do as well, either together or individually. So by mapping these things out, you can not only just make sure that you're getting everything that you need for your well-being, but you can support each other in order to achieve them as well. So if you do have weeks where you're particularly unmotivated, the others around you can provide you with accountability to help encourage you to get them done. And then you know that you're going to be on top of and in control and consistent with your well-being. So we want you to map out your well-being for the week as well. Often it's too easy for things to creep in and get in the way of different things that are so important for our well-being. So as a family, map out what you're doing for your well-being that week. Figure out when each of you are going to be doing different things so you can either help them or leave them alone to do it. We've also put on there the sunrise and sunset so you can focus on when you're doing activities outside, when the sun's up, and making sure that you can do things at home when the sun is down. We don't want to be encouraging people to be out when it's dark. So just make sure that you are considering all of that when you're planning out your well-being activities. This is going to be really helpful to help you keep on top of it. So from here, What I really, really want you guys to do is be mindful of your bananas and donuts. Remember, bananas are those things that you can have every day and it won't have too much of an impact on you. Donuts are the things that you can have once in a while. So if you're thinking about, is this activity good for me or bad for me in the long run? Think about, what if I was to do it every single day? What would it do for that trajectory? What would it do for my well-being long-term if I was to do this all day, every day? If that is negative, then make sure that you're only doing it now and then. Treat it like a donut. Identify which areas you might need help with. So if you are particularly unmotivated or you really don't like exercising, then identify anyone that might be able to help you do it. So might it be that you walk with a friend so that you can make sure that you're both helping each other to achieve that goal? Bring your family in. Ask people to hold you to account. Ask them to make sure that you're doing it. Ask for help if you need to. And start with low effort things. It doesn't need to be a full workout straight away. Even if you can't reach that magic 20 minutes of walking, maybe go up the stairs a couple of times so you're still in the house. Maybe you just want to do a 10-minute walk or walk around the block. That's fine. But you've got a goal to set yourself to. So start working up to it. And again, Arthur Ellis run a one-to-one service for anybody who is 8 years old and onwards. So if any families do want any help with their children or young people, or if you want some help yourself, you can self-refer to us on your website and we'll be happy to help. We also provide our services into schools and colleges. So if your school or your children's school may benefit from speaking to us, please feel free to recommend us. And also businesses. So if your employer, if you feel like your employer could do some more for the staff's mental health, or maybe they don't do enough, or maybe you feel like it's ticking boxes and it's not quite in the right area, then please recommend us to your business and we will be more than happy to help. Thank you very much. Enjoy your winter wellbeing activity, which can be downloaded on the CCG website. And I hope you keep well this winter. With everything going on, stay well, stay safe, and thank you.